The boundaries have been broken.
Welcome to Vanguard Radio.
The Aryan Alternative. News and views for whites you won't find anywhere else. The Aryan Alternative is a print publication of uncensored news for whites. Be the first in your neighborhood to distribute news without the Jews by ordering 100 copies for $12 through the Vanguard News Network. Visit govnn.com for ordering information. The Aryan Alternative and the Vanguard News Network. No Jews, just right.
Live Red Chat.
24/7.
IRC or Java.
Pick your poison.
White racialist. Intercourse. Live and online. VNN Live.
That's right, live chat for VNN. VNN.mine.nu. 1488/join VNN. For you Java folks, http://vnn.mine.nu/88/VNN Live. Antis need not apply.
Come get some.
The problem is for the next generation. That's when the hurt's going to come by.
Let's get that ring on hands. Come on. Let's go.
They're taking over, and you're a racist pig if you resist.
Go back to Europe. That's the law.
It's a war. I'm a painter. In the last 2 years, I started buying guns.
You don't make anything better by adding 30 million Mexicans to it, do you?
I'm not going to sit by on my couch and get fat while my country disappears.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to hear from the founder of the Madman Project? Yeah!
Hey, I'm gonna show you an armed vigilante right here.
These are our weapons.
The reforms in immigration that have completely altered this country have been the result, really, of elite sentiment and frankly, ethnic interest group lobbying and so on.
The Democratic Party sees massive immigration, both legal and illegal, as a source of voters. On the other side, the Republican Party sees massive immigration, both legal and illegal, as a source of cheap labor.
There is absolutely no immigration law enforcement, which means we have no borders, which means we have no nation.
We don't choose this border, again, as the line in the sand, to our own government about what we the people demand and what we expect from the government, you might as well just check it in and make sure there's something good on TV every night and stay out of their way. Don't do anything wrong, because you won't stand a chance.
The United States government has refused to effectively protect the southern border with Mexico for 40 years. Average American citizens are now banding together to stand up against the government they feel no longer represents their interests. October Sun Films presents The Line in the Sand, a documentary by Byron Jost. Visit OctoberSunFilms.com for more information.
You hear that, Mr. Anderson? That is the sound of inevitability.
You're listening to Vanguard Radio.
Finishes, I welcome you to join the show by calling 609-910-1418 or use Skype. The username is SSKIIT. Well, welcome to the inaugural broadcast, the inaugural live broadcast. I've made a few other recorded broadcasts for VNN. short little pieces, about 10 minutes. I'm happy to be able to do this live show. It's going to be quite a jump for me. I'd like to talk about the permanent things that are of interest to our race, our kind. It's something that I hope that you can learn from me and in my encounters with people on VNN. I've certainly learned a lot, and that's what this show is about. So I guess on with the show. When you hear the word democracy uttered on the radio or TV, you might want to mentally substitute the word plutocracy. Let's give it a try, shall we? When Bush says the insurgents fear, quote, the rise of a democratic Iraq, or when he says, quote, America is working for a democratic Iraq, end quote, doesn't it make more sense if it read, quote, America is working for a plutocratic Iraq? Or that the insurgents fear, quote, the rise of a plutocratic Iraq, end quote? And not to pick on poor Bush alone. If you live overseas, try it for Blair in England, Martin in Canada, or Howard in Australia. I'm sure it will make the same sense. Until quite recently, most learned men thought that democracy was a dangerous form of government, one which inevitably transitioned into plutocracy and tyranny. Over a 2,500-year span, from the 5th century BC Greeks to the German idealists of the early 20th century, most thought the best form of government was one which an aristocratic elite, a superior element from among the people, the clan or the gens being the Latin word for family or nation united by blood. By the way, we get the word gentleman from that word. Anyway, most of these political thinkers thought that a superior element from the people, the clan, the nation, would rise and rule, and this would be the best form of government. Most often this took the form of a monarch, a priestly order, a clan council, or a council of warriors. Dr. Jacob Alexander has surveyed this last 2,500 years of Western political thought in his book Nobilitas, a study of European aristocratic philosophy from ancient Greece to the early 20th century. And despite the years, there is a surprising uniformity among the thinkers surveyed. And that uniformity is that democracy and its twin, egalitarianism, are a curse. This was the opinion of Plato, Aristotle, Bodine, Burke, Fichte, De Maistre, Schopenhauer, Hegel, and Spengler. Democracy, they said, elevates the inferior. They said it destroys the spiritual life. It transfers power to the unfit. And it inevitably degrades into mob rule, plutocracy, and tyranny. The fruit, as Heinrich von Tritschke warned, of mass democracy would be that of a, quote, disproportionate share of the influence of running the government given over to stupidity, superstition, malice, mendacity, and nebulous waves of sentiment, which would introduce an unpredictable element into the life of the state. Those are pretty harsh words, and most of us are taught that democracy is the best thing that can be happening. But really, if you look at the chaotic events of the United States, particularly after the Civil War, after World War II, you maybe should reconsider that. Do you recall the second inaugural address delivered by George Bush? It was widely reported that Mr. Bush, the night before his address, was up late reading a book. That in itself is amazing, but it gets worse. It was a book written by an Israeli Jew, Natan Sharansky. The book was entitled The Case for Democracy, The Power of Freedom to Overcome Tyranny and Terror. Freedom is another dirty little word like democracy that needs a lot of qualification, but let's just let it stand right now. Sharansky's book claims that democracies are inherently peaceful, and that the entire world ought to be made ready for worldwide democratic revolution. Sharansky describes democracies as guarantors of freedom and liberty, and non-democratic states as fear societies. Well, such prattle is easily countered. One can think right away of the Patriot Act, for example, or the concentration camps in Eastern Europe, or the policies of rendition, where we hand off people to be beaten. But for the inferior, who hold power today, and I'm referring to George Bush, among others, even if they hold power ceremonially only, this sort of rhetoric generates much excitement, not too different from that of the arrival of Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy for our little children. Bush, it was reported, was so enamored by Sharansky's book that he called for all Americans to purchase the book. We can only guess how much this book has influenced foreign policy. It surely has influenced the president's inaugural address. I'm going to ask Stan to play a clip from that. It's about 2 minutes long. Go ahead and hit it, Stan, when you've got a moment.
There is only one force of history that can break the reign of hatred and resentment and expose the pretensions of tyrants and reward the hopes of the decent and tolerant, and that is the force of human freedom. We are led by events and common sense to one conclusion. The survival of liberty in our land increasingly depends on the success of liberty in other lands. The best hope for peace in our world is the expansion of freedom in all the world. America's vital interests and our deepest beliefs are now one. From the day of our founding, we have proclaimed that every man and woman on this earth has rights and dignity and matchless value because they bear the image of the Maker of heaven and earth. Across the generations, we have proclaimed the imperative of self-government because no one is fit to be a master and no one deserves to be a slave.
Well, all the themes were there. Egalitarianism, endless war for democracy, the idea that, you know, no one is above one another in their intelligence or their abilities. It's very dangerous, too. And he's linking this into some sort of weird religious mission with some sort of debased Christianity. It's just really nuts. And such rhetoric, aside from being stupid, is also dangerous. But Bush is only among the worst in a long line of democratically elected idiots, knaves, lechers, and half-wits that have been voted into office. Insofar as any creature of our kind holds power, they are of an inferior type, like the devious lecher Bill Clinton or the fool George Bush. Before the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which gave non-whites the right to vote, the American public was a bit more selective about those it allowed into office. Now, the degradation of the masses is so complete that even if a president is exposed as being a lecher or a liar, the public re-elects the scoundrel. And you have to ask yourself, too, why are Jews, like the right-wing Israeli Sharansky, so insistent that all governments everywhere be democracies? I'll tell you why. Because nations that are democracies are easily subverted and manipulated. They are like cattle being intentionally stampeded to an edge of a cliff, and the hand spooking the cattle, blowing the horns, banging the pots and pans, and firing into the air are the Jews, using their predominance in the media. For the sake of malice alone, the Jewish cattle drivers are herding the cattle over our neighborhoods and our churches and just about any other institution which might serve to strengthen our people. Can any democratically elected politician stand up to them, question their motives, or examine the question of Jewish predominancy in the media, banking, or law schools? Well, no. That's the answer. They can't. In fact, to show you how cowed our elected leadership is, on last December 16th of 2005, the House of Representatives, these are the people that are supposedly representative of the people of the United States, voted unanimously 432-0 to make January Jewish History Month. Can you imagine that? The bill, which had 252 co-sponsors. Anyway, folks, as William Pierce said, voting got us into this mess, and voting won't get us out. The Jews simply have a lock on our electoral system. Let's get a perspective on the rise of mass democracy. Before the 20th century, democracy in Europe was mitigated in some states by royal veto, by custom, and to some extent by religious tradition. In America, women and blacks were not allowed voting privileges. Before the 20th century, especially, for example, in the last century, 19th century, in both America and Europe, life was characterized by large families, low crime, sound money, personal freedom, that's freedom, and order. But voting privileges were restricted. These restrictions on voting rights tempered the turbulence of the masses. It kept the demagogic element in democratic politics muted. When voting reform bills in the early 20th century in Europe and the United States extended voting rights to women, the young, the alien races, the criminals, all the brakes on the mob were removed. And it doesn't take a tyrant long to find a mob, a tyrant to mold the mob to its purposes, a tyrant to provide welfare benefits, a tyrant to grant special privileges, a tyrant to exploit the friction among men and women, the old and the young. And I think we all know who that tyrant is. It's worth noting, too, like the rise of a full-blown AIDS, democracy has been accompanied by many horrors like World War I and World War II. That is the century when European civilization blew itself to bits, was also the century of mass democracy. And isn't that what inferior people do when they rule? The Bushes, these type of people? They don't create, they destroy. Just as AIDS weakens and kills those it infects, democracy weakens and kills the political and spiritual life of the nation. Many, in a quite facile way, hail Athens as a beacon of early democracy, though citizenship and voting rights in Athens were restricted to a precious few. And I would certainly favor that system over what this one body, one vote system today we have. But Even such restrictions did not, in the long run, prevent Athens from losing a war and degrading into an authoritarian state. Those that have read Thucydides' The Peloponnesian War know that democratic Athens essentially voted its own destruction through an imperial war, that's right, an imperial war against its neighbors. Readers also know that democratic Athens was defeated largely because she suffered from irrational and intemperate rule. If you've read Thucydides' history, you might remember the debate about the fate of the Mytileneans. So enraged were the Athenians over the Mytilenean revolt that the Athenian assembly voted to put to death all Mytilenean prisoners and then exterminate the entire male population of the island. To accomplish this, a fleet was dispatched. Soon afterwards, a second debate commenced. As the ship was headed to Mytilene, the mood of the democratic mob changed. And after a close vote, the assembly voted to reverse the genocide verdict and dispatch another ship to catch the fleet sent earlier to slaughter the Mytileneans. This is the sort of government we get from democracy. The lessons are there. Remember, too, that the Mytileneans were Hellenes. Just like the Athenians, they were brothers, they were fellow Greeks, and they were not the hated and alien Persians. Think mestizo, by the way. They were not the hated and alien Persians, which repeatedly had tried to enslave the Greeks and deprive them of their ancient liberties. I think it important to clarify something, a point that maybe in an earlier time might not need to have clarified. When speaking of rule by the superior, I mean not rule by the snobbish or lazy or spoiled. I mean not rule by plutocrats, technocrats, or businessmen. I mean rule by those whose lineages have over decades and centuries proved worthy of power. I mean rule by those who have demonstrated loyalty. I mean rule by those that have led men into battle and withstood the fire. What I certainly don't mean is the type of man like the system politician, the democratic politician, the type of man which lies and prevaricates, which appeases and placates, which massages the masses for the votes while enriching themselves and their friends, or taking directives from foreign powers like Mr. Sharansky and his fellow Jews. Also, I'm not suggesting that the weak or dull of our race are ever to be relegated to the political status of blacks, Mexicans, or Jews, or other foreigners. In the past, rule by the superior meant the group of distinguished families called the nobility. Many nobles took pride in knowing their families had ruled for generations. Incredibly, it is thought that some noble houses in Europe could trace their roots back to the days of the Roman Senate. Well, these noble families, some of them still have their ancient titles, but they wield no power. And unfortunately, others have been wedded to inferior bloodlines, foreign races. Some noble houses were slaughtered wholesale by the communists, like the Romanov dynasty at the hands of the Jewish terrorists. Now, lest again I misunderstood, I am not in favor of restoring the noble houses of Europe. Though there may be indeed a few worthy families still in existence, most are thoroughly corrupt, and if you heard the comments of the Queen of England recently about her Christmas address about multiculturalism, you'll see what I mean. No, what I favor is the formation of a new elite, the formation of a new noble lineage. This is not something that can be done by just snapping one's fingers, establishing a commission, or by the vote. It's not something that can be done democratically. Only the merciless scythe of time can separate the mediocre from the exceptional. This is a process of struggle. It is one of natural selection. And when I speak of rule by the superior, I know some won't like that. Yes, I think we can all understand the inferiority of the blacks and the mestizos. But acknowledging differences among our own kind is too painful, perhaps, or disruptive or divisive. But for those who think that way, I ask them to recall that when whites had large families of, say, 6 or 7 kids, perhaps only one of the 7 would rise to find success in business or academia. Well, we must find those exceptions among our kind, these noble few of our race, or family, if you will, and nurture them. It is absolutely necessary we promulgate and identify the superior of our race and family. For this mechanism to work, we must come together and build villages, communities, and cities and neighborhoods. It took centuries for Europe to incubate their nobility, so this task is a delicate one. But only by careful selection and a healthy habitat can we identify them. We need our own living space. But we don't have our own living space, do we? Today, we live in an inferior system. We live in a system which promulgates the degenerate, especially in politics and arts, a system which favors the hypnotic beat of the jungle over polyphony, a system which exalts the Negro beast before the gentleman, a system which exalts money and the here and now before discipline and duty and sacrifice. In such a system, we, our race, cannot survive. We will be outcompeted, genetically eliminated, for in the race to the bottom, the degenerate and the inferior win. In closing tonight, the Spanish philosopher Ortega Gasset wrote a provocative book discussing the rise of mass societies in America. It's entitled The Revolt of the Masses. And if you're interested in this topic of mass man and mass democracy and nobility, I recommend this book. In The Revolt of the Masses, the philosopher used a quote from the Roman poet Horace to describe the loss of vitality, the decline in standards, and the morals in the 20th century. A decline which seemed to manifest itself in the very breeding of the race. Horace, the writer that Gasset was referring to, was writing in the 1st century AD during the rise of the Caesars and the decline of the Roman Republic. He wrote, "Our fathers, viler than our grandfathers, begot us who are more degenerate still, and we shall bear a progeny even more degenerate." I want you to think about those words the next time you see a little black baby call out mama to a white woman. Well, that's the monologue for tonight, and I welcome your calls after the break. Let me repeat the number so you can call in. You can talk about these subjects. I've got a few other things we can talk about, let you know your feedback. I'd like to know what you think. Let's see here. The number is 609-910-1418. And the Skype username is SSKIIT. And let's see if Stan can get us some break music. I can rest my throat a little bit. Seems like everyone else I'm getting now with some sort of cold. I was hoping the Purell I'm rubbing on my hands every 10 minutes would save me, but doesn't seem to have. We'll be right back.
Vanguard Radio for the precious 8%.
Live right chat.
24/7.
IRC or Java.
Pick your poison.
Right racialist. Intercourse. Live and online. VNN Live.
That's right, live chat for VNN. VNN.mine.nu 1488/join/VNN. And for you Java folks, http://VNN.mine.nu/88/VNN live. And ties need not apply.
Come get some.
The problem is for the next generation. That's when the hurt's going to come about.
Let's get that gringo in the ass! Come on! Let's go!
He's burning! In order!
They're taking over, and you're a racist pig if you resist.
Go back to Europe!
That's the law!
It's a war. I'm a painter. In the last 2 years, I started buying guns.
You don't make anything better by adding 30 million Mexicans to it, do you?
I'm not going to sit by on my couch and get fat while my country disappears.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to hear from the founder of the Madman Project?
I'm going to show you an armed vigilante right here.
These are our weapons. The reforms in immigration that have completely altered this country have been the result, really, of elite sentiment. And frankly, ethnic interest group lobbying and so on.
The Democratic Party sees massive immigration, both legal and illegal, as a source of voters. On the other side, the Republican Party sees massive immigration, both legal and illegal, as a source of cheap labor.
There is absolutely no immigration law enforcement, which means we have no borders, which means we have no nation.
We don't choose this border, again, as the line in the sand. To our own government, about what we the people demand and what we expect from the government, you might as well just check it in and make sure there's something good on TV every night and stay out of their way. Don't do anything wrong, because you won't stand a chance.
The United States government has refused to effectively protect the southern border with Mexico for 40 years. Average American citizens are now banding together to stand up against the government they feel no longer represents their interests. October Sun Films presents The Line in the Sand, a documentary by Byron Jost. Visit OctoberSunFilms.com for more information. The Aryan Alternative, news and views for whites you won't find anywhere else. The Aryan Alternative is a print publication of uncensored news for whites. Be the first in your neighborhood to distribute news without the Jews by ordering 100 copies for $12 through the Vanguard News Network. Visit govnn.com for ordering information. The Aryan Alternative and the Vanguard News Network. No Jews, just right.
I believe that your primitive cerebrum kept trying to wake up.
Free your mind of its alleged thought crimes with Vanguard Radio.
Isn't it? I think Stan likes that that guitar music fly. All right, well, welcome back. I actually didn't want to break up the music. I enjoy listening to that a lot. Well, continuing on, are there any callers, Dan? I can't hear Stan. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not not embarrassed or ashamed or feel some blow to my ego to say how much I really like Goyfire. And when I first started listening, let me give you the numbers in case that needs to be done. It's 609-910-1418. I really recommend everyone on VNN start using Skype. That's Skype, especially if you've got a broadband connection of any kind. We can conference you right in. And you can also make long-distance calls to other people that also have Skype on their computer. The program is free. It's a no-brainer to install. If you want to call this program, Just type in the username SSKIIT. That's SSKIIT. It's a real no-brainer. If you got broadband, you really should have it on your computer. Anyway, I was talking about Goyfire. About 6 months ago, I first heard Goyfire, and I was really blown away. I was really blown away by what I heard. I was some may know I was doing some blogging over at another blog, and my the themes that I was writing about really developed into kind of a racialist, white nationalist themes. And most people at that site were sort of the respectable conservatives of various stripes. And actually, the proprietor of the site was a very flexible person, and I think he understood a lot of the themes that I was talking about, and a lot of the themes that are discussed here. But I think again, it's just this this sort of situation where there's a certain decency that's promoted. You know, some things are indecent and some things that are not, and I felt that. There was one incident that there was a lot of hysteria that I wrote something, posted something, and I thought, wow, this is just, I'm just shocked at the hysteria. I thought it was, my comments were rather tame, but I wasn't kicked off the blog, but I decided that, you know, maybe I should find somewhere else. And I thought about just quitting altogether and just, just taking care of business like everyone else does every day. When I heard Goyfire, I just really fell out of my seat. I've never heard something that direct and that coherent before. And yesterday, I was listening to the archive of Goyfire 25, and I wish Shane would have had a little bit more time to explore this, but the program is getting quite old. It was a report from the U.S. Army War College, and I haven't had time to look up this report, but supposedly it was talking about urban warfare, and they've been looking at this problem with urban warfare, and particularly these hoodlums in our cities getting into cars, roaming around, shooting up people, causing trouble. It had to do with this black-on-brown killings out in Los Angeles where the various tribes out there are killing each other and, using the infrastructure of the city to cause mayhem. Of course, you know, it shouldn't be forgotten that it was our ancestors that built the damn place out there and whose highways and that were laid by our ancestors that they're running up and down, tearing up the city with. But anyway, let's not forget that. there was another book that I thought about, and it was by Robert Kaplan. Now, Kaplan's a Jew, so you have to approach what he says very carefully, but the book is very good, and parts of it are online, and it's called The Coming Anarchy. And he wrote this book in, I believe, 1990, and he took a tour of the Southwest, I believe the Balkans and Africa, and he was commenting upon just the utter breakdown of order in these societies. And a lot of this breakdown in order, we're not told about here in the media. And particularly there was a lot of fighting in Cameroon recently. Of course, there was in Liberia, all over West Africa. And I don't think we're really given any sort of analysis of what's going on over there. But the order that the white man brought and laid down in Africa when he was supposedly in the so-called colonial period has vanished. And Pierce wrote about this a little bit in one of his broadcasts. He talked about how Cortez landed in Mexico, and I think it was the year 1500. And with, I believe, was it 15 men and 500 horses, just defeated an empire of, I assume, millions, and taught those people that they're going to have to obey and get in line. Well, we just aren't making white men like that anymore. And as a result, they're crawling back out of their holes, and they're tearing up the place, and they're going to continue tearing up the place, whether the place is Los Angeles or Africa or wherever it is. They're just going to continue doing this until or if we put the gloves on and deal with this situation. I think it would be particularly bad if another race, say the Japanese or the Chinese, did it. And when I say take control of the situation, I don't mean we should recolonize these lands. There's other ways of dealing with it. Certainly, it'd be nice if we dealt very firmly in our own land with this anarchy. But that's not happening, and it's getting worse. There's one part in that book by Kaplan, and I recommend, really, if you have the time to go to the library, don't buy the book. Go to the library and read the part on St. Louis. And St. Louis is a city that is there's a lot of decay. And I've been there, and I've lived there. And anyone familiar with the Mason Woods area? Was that country? Just Mason Woods area. The whites live in little cities there, little enclaves, nice narrow curvy streets, and there's hundreds of little cities, hundreds of little incorporated cities. And they have very, very strict homeowners associations. They have very high fees. They have very high taxes. And it's very hard to find a home. And in essence, what these people have done is they have walled themselves off. And he tours these areas. They're very nice and green. I've been there. I've seen them. Very nice places to live. A lot of them aren't as rich as you would think they would be, but even the modest houses there cost a lot of money. In contrast, though, he takes you to some other places where whites at one time lived in St. Louis, and it's utter anarchy. Everything is broken. It's dangerous. It's everything we expect to be happening in the Qua. So if you have time to find that book, I think it's a good book to read. His predictions are holding up pretty well, because what he saw, what he predicted in the Southwest, particularly about the sort of the deracination of Anglo culture in the Southwest, like Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, has certainly happened. And it's continuing. It's pushing. It's getting closer. Remember those old maps? during the Cold War where it would be a globe, and then all of a sudden there would be like this little drop of red ink, and then the red ink would spread out and then cover over a landmass, the advance of communism. Well, really, we could have brown ink, and we have now, we have this brown socialism that is just day by day expanding, and it suffocates everything underneath it. It drives all the whites out, and it takes from them. It expropriates their money. It takes everything from them. And it's every bit as insidious as communism, except our degenerate rulers are actually encouraging it. This is what we're facing here. And voting got us into it, and voting won't get us out of it. We simply cannot make any progress with our elected leadership. Now, I know that there's been bills, a border fence that's made its way through Congress, the supposed Real ID Act. But, you know, there's all kinds of things like this. And I'm sure this will do much to alleviate the Joe Sixpacks that have their kid beaten up by a mestizo, or the Sally soccer mom who doesn't like the garbage blowing in the streets. But I assure you, solving this problem is not on the agenda of the leadership. It is just not there. They'll lie to you. They'll do anything to make you think they're doing something if necessary. If the heat gets bad enough, they'll go through the motions. They'll do something. It might even be impressive. There'll be a lot of cameras, but this force is ineluctable. It can't be stopped unless we get rid of the people that are promoting this this set of circumstances. And for that, I think that we need to think about parallel institutions. I think that we as whites have got to get to know each other again. We have to start building networks. We have to start building businesses. We have to frequent those businesses. We have to start making family contacts, saying, so our children can have people to play with and grow up with and breed with of our own kind. We can't remain spread out where we can be picked off one by one. And what I mean picked off one by one is that we can have some of our children destroyed by drugs. We can have some of our children destroyed by TV. We can have some of our children kept out of college that are smart, because those seats have to be set aside for people of lesser skills, foreigners. This is what I mean by being picked off. It's how you destroy a people. Certainly one of the ways we're being picked off is by having our blonde women marry the gosh darn blacks. We cannot, as much as many of us want to, we cannot go up to that car when we see them in the car, drag them out, and beat the hell out of them. We can't do that. We used to be able to do that. Can you imagine that? I told a story many times about my grandmother's brother who dragged a man right out of a streetcar and threw him in the street. This was in Houston in the 1920s. There was no uproar about this. There were no cops called. This is the way things were. So we're in a pretty bad situation, folks. And I don't know. I don't think we can count upon some sort of huge mass awakening. I just don't think it's going to happen. I've always hoped that there would be some sort of catastrophe with the economy. You know, it doesn't seem to come. These people have gotten very clever with the money system. And maybe they're very clever with it. I think that we need to hive off from the rest of society the best we can. And be an example for other people to follow. Of course, that's not going to be easy. And if it doesn't happen, I don't think we have much hope, but I may be wrong. Stan, why don't you play as a break here in the heavy talk? This will give us a little bit to chuckle about the Nagumu audio. Will you please? Thanks.
Good afternoon, Great London Authority. Can I help you?
Good afternoon. I would like to speak to Mayor Ken Livingstone, please.
We handle the mayor's calls. Can I help you?
I wonder if you can ask him to call me. Prince Herbert Ono Magabu Magagu Magabumu from Lagos in Nigeria. We need his help very much.
Sorry, I didn't get your name.
My name is Prince Herbert.
Yeah.
Ono Magabuma Gaguma Gabumu.
Right. Can you spell it for me, please, sir?
It is O-N-U.
Yeah.
M-A-G-A-B-O-O-M-A G-A-G-U-M-A G-A-B-U-M-U.
Okay.
Ono Magabuma Gaguma Gabumu.
Okay.
Could you say that back to me, please?
I've got it written down, so I'm afraid I won't be able to pronounce it. Can I take a contact number from you?
Certainly. Could you just check the spelling of my name, please?
It said O-L-U-M-A-G-A-B.
No. O-N-U.
O-L-U, that's what I said, sir.
No, O-N-N-U.
N-U. M-A-G-A-B-O-O-A-G-O-B-U-M-U.
No. G-A-G-U.
G-A-G-U.
Yeah? Then?
M-U-M-U.
No, M-A.
M-A.
Can we start again, please?
I'm sorry, sir. I think if you actually want to have a meeting with Mr. Livingstone, you're going to have to put something in writing to us.
Mayor Ken is good friend to us in Lagos, and problem with the pigeons.
Did you say you've got a problem with the pigeons?
Terrible. You must read in the media. Many people have been killed.
Have you got a contact number and I'll pass it through to the mayor's office?
Yes, but you do not seem to want to take my name down properly, miss. I am Prince Herbert of the royal family of Nigeria, and you should treat me with kind respect, my dear.
I have got your name written down. Can I just...
But you did not spell it right, and you behave like it is not important.
Okay, if you'd like to spell it for me again, then.
It is Onumagabumagabumag...
Yeah, if you'd like to spell it for me again.
Prince. P-R-I-N-C...
Yes, I've got Prince Herbert written down. I just need the spelling of your surname.
Okay. Onumagabumagabumagabumu.
Yeah, can you spell that for me, please, sir?
O-N-U... M-A-G-A-B-O-O-M-A-G-A-G-U-M-A-G-A-B-U-M-U. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have you got contact number, please?
Could you just repeat that back to me, please?
I'm sorry, sir. I really, if I can take a contact number, I will pass this to
you. I beg your pardon? How dare you speak to me in this way? I am terribly insulted. Now, Ken Livingstone, the mayor, he has been to our tribe. He has
been... Sir, as I said, if you would just...
I have only tried to give you my name, and I have not even managed to get to my telephone number yet. Can you give me my name to make sure that you have my name?
O-N-U-M-A-G-A-B-O-O-M. A G A G U M G U M B.
No. See, you do not even listen
to me. It's a very bad line. I can't hear you very well. You're very quiet. So if I've not written your name down properly, that's probably why.
Is it because you're not listening? Because you think I am not important and I'm irrelevant? My name is important. I am a prince of my tribe, my dear.
If you can spell it for me, I'll be able to get it right, sir.
Of course I can spell my name. You do not think I can spell my name? You think because I am a black man that I cannot spell my name?
No, not at all. I did not say that. Please do not...
I think you are implying, my dear, that I am not...
I did not imply anything, sir.
Well, I think you have been most rude, and I will be reporting you because Ken Livingstone...
Sir, if that's what you think that I've done, then I totally apologise. It's not been my intention at all. I've been trying to take your name. I'm sorry, sir, but...
Nobody treats me like this.
Spell it slowly, sir. I might have more of a chance, sir.
I'm just trying to speak to Ken Livingstone. I'm trying to feed my people, and we try to do something with the pigeons.
Sorry, I'm not willing to continue, and I resent the implications of what you're saying.
TheSerialCorner.com. TheSerialCorner.com.
All right, well, that's all good and funny, isn't it? So true, too. I'm not sure where that came from. I it was sent to me in an email. I thought it'd be good for the broadcast. I have a couple friends in England. And, you know, what's different about England, the United States, is that there is a Church of England. And we don't have this over here. We don't have a Church of the United States. And as an Englishman, if I understood what was being told to me, every Englishman has something like an organic right to be a member of that church. It's like a church for the blood of the English. And even someone who has relapsed, been out of favor with the church, in some respects, has some sort of right to have their children baptized or something like this. This cannot be denied an Englishman. And we may have heard the comments of the Queen again. And when she rattled on about the beauty of multiculturalism. And this just shows you how decadent and useless the noble families of Europe have become. And I don't know if there's any that are not useless. But these families in Europe, as we talked about, they brought society out of the collapse of the Roman Empire, and they ruled in the Middle Ages. This was, and contrary to what you're told, this was a great time for Western man. We didn't have the technology and the science we have now, but this was a society that was very rich in spiritual life and meaning. And it should never be forgotten that in this particular time, the collective strength of European people was very strong. And what I mean by that, their knowledge of them as a race was very strong. The Muslim was repelled many times by medieval Christians, medieval whites, and the Jew was kept in a box. And this was church policy. This was the policy of a lot of the royals. They didn't like the Jews, and they kept them under control. We didn't have this immigration invasion, naturally, that we have today. But, you know, there could have been millions of Africans that somehow migrated there, but it didn't happen. And this civilization was around for 1,000 years. And I think we really need to give credit where credit's due. But as we see, all things degenerate. Spengler talked about this, the organic life of a society. And Western civilization, I think, has come to an end. And it's up to us to start the process of building something new. We must. We have got to start the process of crawling out of the rubble that's become our society. Cast sloughing off these people, sloughing off the garbage, and starting again. We have a great task to refer to. All right. Looks like that's the show for tonight. I thank you very much. We got the rest of War Pigs. That's the name of the song. I always like that ending where it speeds up real fast. I welcome your comments on the forum. I'll have the archive show put up there, and then I'll have a script of my monologue. So some of those quotes from Horace, if you want to use them, they're there. You can copy them, and I'd welcome any feedback as well. Okay, thank you very much, and good night.